Welcome back to the Remnant Radio Show. This is Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride, Part 16B, and we shall continue.
I had the police called on me once.
Oh, goodness.
We had permission to take the pallets from the air conditioning place, and we went there like at 7 at night when they were closed, and a neighbor saw us taking the pallets, so they called the cops. Anyway, so yeah, you might want to go during business hours or something to make sure you don't get in trouble.
Yeah, make sure you have permission. Whatever you, if you're taking stuff out from, you know, behind a business or whatever, make sure that you have permission and that you know that it's stuff that they are getting rid of and not taking.
Well, we had permission, but the neighbor didn't know, you know.
Yeah, so. I mean, and then you got to people that, I mean, I guess it's good to keep an eye out for your neighbor's business.
Absolutely.
But.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, too, I learned this in Florida. I don't worry about it here in Montana where I live, but in Florida, you know, bugs is the biggest problem, even when you have food in buckets sometimes. And so what we learned to do was whenever we got a 50-pound bag or 25-pound bag of almost anything in bulk, whether it was beans, rice, wheat, we would automatically put it in the freezer for a couple of days. Or if we suspected or did have a bug problem, we would put them in the freezer for, I think it's 48 hours, 48 to 72 hours, so that it kills, you know, the bugs. Then you can take it out and repackage it or, you know, put it in buckets or, you know, do whatever you need to do. But it helps kill the bugs and stop the infestation.
Yeah, in some places it's definitely, Florida and down south. I lived in Texas and a few other southern states. And there's definitely a higher ratio of problems with bugs than up here. Not that we don't have them, but we just don't have them the same kind or as plentiful or easily infesting. And I store my stuff with diatomaceous earth.
Yes.
I'll put a couple of tablespoons of diatomaceous earth. There's a whole procedure on how I do it. If I get my 25-pound bag of rice. I got my free bucket that they've already cleaned it. So mine come pretty clean. I rewash them, and then I take rubbing alcohol, like on a clean washcloth or a paper towel, and wipe the bucket out on the inside with the rubbing alcohol because it dries fast, and let that dry. It only takes a few minutes. And then I put a couple tablespoons of diatomaceous earth in the bottom. Then I will put the rice. Now, when I first started doing this, I was storing them inside the bag so that I would have the information. And then I thought, well, the bag is plastic. I know the bucket is plastic, but I just – so now I've decided to reduce some of the plastic, and I open the bags, and I put them in, and I cut the label off if I feel like I want to have the label. And then I pour the food in there, and I put in an oxygen absorber. There's a – sorbentsystems.com is a great source for – the oxygen absorbers. You can buy them in bulk, and they have all different sizes and all different kinds of things for absorbing oxygen and moisture and stuff like that out of packaging and different packaging materials. And I put in one that's rated for 5-gallon bucket size, and then I usually try to do several at a time because once you open that package that the oxygen absorbers are in, you've only got a short – they're going to start reacting with the oxygen in the air pretty quick. So, you know, I try to have 5 or 6 or so at a time that I'm doing and drop in an oxygen absorber, put the lid on it. They're sealed with those rubber rings that you want to make sure, you know, they're in right and they don't catch on the lid as you're putting them down, and try to push as much air out as possible as I'm closing them. And then I label them and set them aside. And that's how I do rice, beans, any of that stuff. I've even done bar soap. Done a bucket of bar soap and a bucket of shampoo and a bucket of, you know, anything that I think that might be handy that needs to be stored that way. And that diatomaceous earth will kill any insects that might get into the inside.
Right. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because that is a really, that is another like primary thing that people need to learn. And I think if they knew what to do with it and what it was, they would use it all the time, not just to store up for the future. Diatomaceous earth is basically earth soil, and you want to make sure when you're using it, you want food grade. That's the same thing when we were talking about the H2O2 hydrogen peroxide. You want the food grade.
There's an organic food grade,
right,
you can get.
And if you want DMSO, again, you want the high quality. It's not a food grade, but the high quality grade. And DMSO, which you can use for burns and to drive in essential oils when you're really needing a heavy duty oil to go in very quickly for some major pain or abscesses, you know, you want the high quality, and it won't burn as much as the one that you find just as horse liniment. Same thing with the hydrogen peroxide. You want the food grade if you're going to be dealing with it in your food. And the same thing with diatomaceous earth. And, you know, people use it to take internally for bug parasite control, just for their parasites. But you got to make sure, though, that you're going to the restroom regularly and you're eating and drinking enough water, or you may get a little bound up. And what it does is it is so fine that the bugs are actually cut, and that is how they die. And you can just put a quarter cup of it into a basically – you might want to look at the ratios, but that's what I use, a quarter cup of it to 50-pound bucket, a 45-pound bucket of wheat. And you put it through, so you're eating it, and it's okay, and it's good for you, but yet it keeps the bug infestations from coming. People use it in the garden and for hens, chickens, for mites and pinworms and preserving foods and all kinds of things. So I really encourage you to Google that.
Dogs and cats.
Yeah, dogs and cats. We've put it in stuff for some of the goats and sheep. And it does something, I think, for lawn. I want to say aphids, but I could be wrong. Anyway, check out diatomaceous earth because it is very important. It's part of long-term food storage, and you can use it every day for something in your house or home or garden.
Yep. I believe it's really good at removing parasites.
Mm-hmm.
In people and in pets, like worms and things, but I'm not sure exactly. And I think it was earthworks.com, perhaps. I was trying to see if I had the website, but I don't.
Yeah, there's another one called richsoil.com, and, you know, it explains that it's like talcum powder, but it's not, because that's carcinogenic. And it's basically the fossilized remains of marine phytoplankton. So it's, you know, again, something that you can eat and use in. So check that out. Also, on the DMSO.BZ, I highly recommend. I love their DMSO. It's a very high quality. You can also tell because it comes in a glass jar. That is high quality. And they dilute their some with honey, so it doesn't burn as much as the others are there.
And on the diatomaceous earth, it's not an expensive product, but you can pay a lot for it if you go to a health food store.
Oh, yeah.
You might get a little tiny little container. My cousin uses it for her dogs, and she goes to a dog health food store, and that's another story. But, you know, if you're going to take care of yourself, it's good that you have that same care for your animals, absolutely. And I was like, what is this? And she's like, well, I get it, you know, to keep my dogs from, you know, the worms and all that and keep them whatever. And I'm like, wow, she's paying I don't know how much for a little tiny container of diatomaceous earth. And I think a 50-pound bag with shipping – which it takes up quite a bit of space because it's fluffy. It was like $57 delivered or something when I bought mine a couple years ago. And that was organic food grade. So it's not. And you could go a long way. You could share that with a lot of people.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I bought 50-pound bags and, you know, divvied it up. It's much less expensive that way also.
Yes.
I was going to say, I've been getting mine through Azure Standard. And I know a lot of people that listen to this are in the Northwest. And so Azure Standard delivers, you know, I think they're out of Oregon, and they deliver all over to the middle of the country. I even heard they might add a Kentucky route. And so, you know, that's another way to buy your foods inexpensively, less expensive than from the health food store. And they have these pickups and co-ops, and you can order a lot of these things in bulk that way.
And I believe they're also Hebrew Roots believers or Seventh-day Keepers in the Torah.
Yes, and we have a co-op in Michigan. I don't know the names, but there are several. You just have to, you know, get on and Google or something.
Azure Standard, A-Z-U-R-E, standard.com. And, for instance, their diatomaceous earth for 50 pounds is only $19.95.
Wow, that's a lot cheaper than I paid to have mine delivered.
Right. And there's no delivery charge in what they do because you have to be there for the pickup. There has to be a minimum amount of order. You can even contact them and see and get a co-op of people to deliver to your area if you get the monthly minimum.
Yes, and there's co-ops in other places. We don't have Azure here that I know of in Michigan, but there are co-ops to order bulk organic health foods.
Right. And there is a – is it Country Foods in Michigan, Pullman, or is that Indiana?
Doesn't sound familiar, but they might be.
They're a Seventh-day Adventist.
We have some Amish stores up here that
Oh,
we
I'm
can go
sorry.
get
Okay.
some stuff too.
I got it. And I used to order from Country Life Natural Foods when I was in Florida, because even though their prices may have been a little higher, their shipping was a lot less than other places that I could have gotten it from. So I might have could have got a better price, but the shipping was what got me. And there, I believe, a Seventh Day Adventist ministry. Country Life Natural Foods is www.clnf.org, and you might want to check out their prices and their health food products. I used to get my bags for by the thousand. I get them in a thousand in a box for my homemade bread, so that I would have, you know, plastic bags. And again, we usually would get together, and one person would buy the bag, and then we would split the bags up, or one lady would just sell the bags out, you know, for more than she paid for them, but then everybody else didn't have to buy a thousand at one time.
And that's building community, doing those things too.
Right, absolutely. And it's good to know who, you know, who has somewhat like that, and you get to learn from each other. That's the big thing. All right, so did we finish rice? We got a little
I
off
think
topic
so.
There. Okay, rice is exciting, and there's all kinds of different kinds of rice, and I encourage you to try different kinds of brown rice and incorporate it in your diet, a lot of these things, so that, you know, when things do go haywire, you're not eating something that you're not used to at all. You know, even with the beans, don't think that you're going to stock up a lot of beans and then you're going to be feeling very good when it comes time to just eat off beans, because you need to, you know, adjust your digestive system to those kinds of foods. Also, if you take like a Great Northern bean and you make a flour out of it and you put it with a grain, you get a complete protein. So that's another thing to consider with when you got beans and your grains. All righty. We are now on rope.
Rope, pretty essential for so many things. You might have to do a bear bag and hang your stuff up in a tree. You know, to secure a tent, you can use a tarp and take a rope and a couple of sticks and spread a tarp over yourself for a shelter. It's one of those indispensable, again, along with a knife, some section of rope. I like to use the military stuff as far as it's compact and small, the paracord. There's different grades. You want the military grade, not the, I don't know what they call it if it's not the military grade, but look for it at the survival stores, Army Surplus Stores, and CampingSurvival.com, I believe, has the best prices that I found and a large selection of colors. I even made a pair of tzitzio, just to be funny, out of paracord. They were quite gigantic. I thought, wouldn't that be interesting to go into the wilderness with, you know, some paracord tzitzio. True survivalist, I guess. It's just the paracord is excellent as far as, you know, it has the 7 strands on the inside. So if you need a fishing line, or even I believe it can be used for a surgical line, it's very, the ones inside, the 7 strands on the inside are very fine, and on the outside it's a strong rope. People can even rappel with it. It's test rated. I think there's a 550 pound, and I don't know if there's a higher rating than that one. And it does come in a multitude of colors, so you can do olive colors, you know, camouflage colors, and now it's become very popular. Everyone sees the bracelets and the belts and things that are made out of the paracord. It's not a bad idea to have a couple of those items and have them around to, you know, you can get several feet in something that you can wear. And if you have to untie it, you can use it. Or just, you know, have some in your bug out bag for sure. Paracord bracelet. There was a girl at Sukkot last year that made me one. I had taken the paracord for the class, and she made a bunch of people that paracord bracelets. So you can find the videos on the internet on how to make those paracord bracelets and belts, but there are people who are doing them that you can just buy them from if you're not crafty or don't have the time to do that.
Let's back up a minute on the rope. I know that here, if you're hiking, because we're in mountainous region, that you might need the rope to rescue someone instead of going down the side of the mountain. And actually, we have had that happen. We have had people, usually they're from out of the area, they come to hike in. One will fall off the mountain. A lot of times they're college students with not too much common sense. And one will fall down, and then another one goes after and he falls down. And we've had at least 5 people go down the side of the mountain, and then all of them have to be rescued. So it would behoove you to learn how to use a rope, how to rescue someone from the side of the mountain without you going down and losing yourself too. So,
right. Learn knot tying. And
absolutely. All right. So now we are on rubber bands.
Yeah, it's just a small item. Again, like in the little travel survival kit, if you were going to make a mini survival kit or just to have one, you might need it to fasten things together or to make a really small weapon. I guess it'd have to be very small, but you never know. You might be able to ward off a errant rat or something if you had one. But you can just stick one in your bag, and you never know when it might come in handy to secure something over a container. You know, you might have to contain like your linen over the sprouting jar.
Right. And you can loop rubber bands onto rubber bands. You know, same thing you do with ropes if you had to for certain things, if you had to wear something and swing it off or, you know, pull it. And so rubber bands are important, and at least a few.
Yeah. And I mean, usually, I don't know, if you do a lot of either, you know, online shipping or shopping, there's almost always stuff or mail. Sometimes the mail person will put your stuff in a rubber band. I just save all those. Those are free. I haven't bought rubber bands in I don't know how many years. And I just put them in a bag. And some of them will get old after a while and they don't, you know, they stretch and break. But it's not hard to have rubber bands on hand.
No, I don't buy rubber bands usually except for at tax time. But yeah, usually when I get scallion onions or something, I just have a drawer and in the kitchen. And whenever I have a rubber band, I save it. And we use them all the time. So, all right. Now, rubber gloves. This is invaluable for so many reasons. Hunting, medicinal, dealing with the things that you don't necessarily want your body to be exposed to.
I am a rubber glove person. I know that there may be a time when I don't have any, but like you said, there's so many situations where rubber gloves are just going to make that job easier or safer. I mean, cleaning, you know, if you're in a survival and wilderness situation, you probably don't have running toilets. So somehow there's going to be some kind of latrine duty or something. And that would be my first thought of what, or medical use. There's just a lot of reasons that you're going to want to have at least a couple of pairs. In Europe, we had to have a pair or two of rubber gloves. It was required to carry in Germany a first aid kit. And then it became required to have rubber gloves in your first aid kit. So, you know, again, preventing injury and illness is better than treating it.
And we use this a lot during hunting season, you know, when we don't want to be messing with when we're butchering or dealing with the animals, and when we're butchering chickens, when I make certain concoctions like the salve, or, you know, I don't want to contaminate what I'm doing or have it contaminate me. So rubber gloves are important. And especially, you know, what if we have to start dealing with, you know, sewing up each other or delivering babies and things like that. The cleaner you can be and the more sterile you can be, the better.
Right. And you could do both the reusable kind, you know, the dishwashing kind, mm-hmm. For certain, you know, tasks that you could just, you know, rinse them off or wash them off or something, and then the medical kind. And there's latex-free, and I think a big pack of them at, like, a Costco, they've gone up for sure. You might get a couple hundred for $10 or $20. I forget. It used to be a lot cheaper, and I think they've gone almost double now or something. But, you know, you can split them. I think it's two or three boxes maybe for $20 now.
All right. Just to go back, when we were talking about the paracord, I knew that we had a Hebrew brother who has a business, and he is sponsoring a preparedness Sukkot here in Montana, farther south of Missoula in the Bitterroot Mountains. And he has a business called MontanaConcealmentSystems.com. Again, that's MontanaConcealmentSystems.com. And they have paracord survival bracelets. And I see that he's got sleeping pads and some tents and different things. And I understand that he's well-trained. I think he's ex-military, ex-police officer kind of guy. And he's a Hebrew brother. So you might want to check that out.
And if you can't find the website, look for Sukkot Prepper or Montana Concealment Systems on Facebook.
Sounds awesome.
All right. So the next we have is Rubbermaid tubs.
I am the queen of Rubbermaid, I have to say. There's so much use for Rubbermaid. They should have put me on the payroll years ago. I started using stuff Rubbermaid when I was pregnant for my first child and storing baby clothes that people were giving me for her. And we have found such a use for them. Do not buy if you're looking for something that's going to be rugged and hold up. the new brands are out there, Sterilite or however you pronounce it, and the newer Rubbermaids that are clear and stuff, they are not going to hold up. Especially if you're in a cold climate. Absolutely tell you they will crack and break.
That's true. That's very true. You have to replace them almost every year.
They are cheaper. I mean, they're a couple bucks cheaper, maybe half the price sometimes, but you're just not. I mean, I have Rubbermaid tubs that are from the very first 25 years ago when I first started using them that are still here. I've very seldom had one crack. I've only had a few. And every once in a while, if I stack them too heavy, I have crushed one and they do bounce back. So I can tell you after all the years, and I mean literally hundreds of Rubbermaid tubs for every different kind of thing, from clothes to emergency supplies to going on a trip and, you know, going to Sukkot and we got to have some extra space to throw some extra groceries or whatever, they work. And if you were in a survival situation, they could be so many things. They could be a baby bathtub. They could be a little wash tub. You know, what can you do with them besides just use them to store your things in? And they do have a handle. If you had to, you could probably, you know, put a little rope on it and tow it. It'd scrape along the bottom. You might eventually wear a hole in it. But, you know, keep one in your car to put things in. They just are all around. And I'm not saying I'm not toting the Rubbermaid company or anything. But
you get paid. No.
I don't. I should. And the way that I mark them is I buy those. There's a company called Rochester Inc., Rochester 100 Inc. or something like that, or Rochester Inc. 100. And you can buy, they are the business card sleeves that are self-adhesive, and they stick, you know, they use them in portfolios and people slide their business cards into them. And you can buy those by the hundreds for like $10. And I just take old business cards that are outdated, or I just buy blanks and write my contents on there and slide them in. And it's a really easy way to reuse your totes and not, you know, writing on them with marker or whatever. You definitely want to have them labeled when you, you know, get several so that you know what's in things. And you, if you want to seal them, you can use caulk. Like if you were going to put some of your rice or beans or things in them, you can caulk them shut and have them, you know, sealed up. And, all right. I mean, you could use them to collect water if you had, you know, if there was going to be a water outage or something, or, you know, you had rain and you didn't have a way, you know, you had rain and you needed to collect some water. They're just handy. They come in lots of different sizes.
All right. Well, we ran out of time today, so we hope that you will come back and join us again next time
for part 17 of Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride. And if you'd like to go back and listen to the prior shows, go to www.remnantremedy.net/radio, and you will see the radio archives there under Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride. And you can visit us at remnantremedy.net. for essential oils and linen. And while there, you may want to sign up for the Remnant Rambling newsletters, where we have articles and teaching sometimes, and that's where we announce our sales and some of our promotions. And currently we have a discontinue sale going on at remnantremedy.net underneath the specials category. And don't forget to check out our linen blankets, and we will be bringing in new oils. So that's another reason why you want to be on the newsletter and find out what's going to be new in the next couple months with Remnant Remedy. And under discounts on the tab at the top there, you will be able to find information on a membership so that you can get a discount when you purchase your essential oils. And besides listening to the archives at remnantremedy.net/radio, you can go and get the list by going to Suzette's website, paintedtongue.com. That's www.paintedtongue.com, to download your copy of this checklist and look at the PowerPoint. May your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
She takes the time to prepare. She bends her heart to Yahweh in prayer. When she hears